Each fall, Episcopal parishes across the country conduct the annual pledge drive. It's an invitation to parishioners to prayerfully consider how they will support the parish by giving of their time, their talent, and their treasure in the coming year. Now, lest I alarm you, this is not mine. This is not the pledge campaign sermon. It will come. That happens in November. But I almost wish it was, because our first lesson from the book of Sirach, the book also known as Ecclesiasticus, is really my definition of a dream text to preach on for such a sermon. In the part of the 35th chapter we hear are the words, "Give to the Most High as He has given to you, and as generously as you can afford." And I only wish that the verses before that, verses 6 through 8, had been included. For they say, "Do not appear before the Lord empty-handed, for all that you offer is in fulfillment of the commandment. The offering of the righteous enriches the altar, and its pleasing odor rises before the Most High." Who could not but give generously after those words? But alas, that's not what the author is talking about. The author really is not writing this about pledge campaigns or parish budgets. Rather, the author is talking about our relationship, the relationship between God's generosity and our response. The author calls the faithful to make generous offerings to God in response to the great generosity that God shows. This book of Sirach is written to the Jewish community who lives abroad. They live in Gentile areas outside Israel. And it offers the teaching and the wisdom necessary for them to remain faithful to God while living among non-believers. In Sirach society, just as in our own, everything had a price, everything was a commodity. And there were people who spent their lives amassing wealth and ignoring the pleas of the poor and the vulnerable. And Sirach is calling the faithful to remember that all that they have been given is a generous gift of God, that all money, all possessions, talents, and abilities, even time itself, is a divine gift. And so those who love God are called to respond with their own generosity. Just as God gives us all that we have, so we are to generously share with others from what we have been given, remembering especially the vulnerable in our midst. We are to give as much as we can afford and to do so cheerfully and gladly. We are called to be good stewards of what God has entrusted to us, remembering that everything belongs to God, not to us alone. The lesson tells us also that how we make our offering to God matters, that those attitudes that we hold, that the content of our hearts are important. Giving back to God so that God will reward us, do something good for us, is called in this lesson a bribe. And the lesson is clear, God cannot be bribed. If we practice deceit in our daily lives while making an offering to God, this also is trying to bribe God for our benefit. To give back to God while exploiting the powerless and the vulnerable is not pleasing to God. But the offerings of those who are filled with the love of God and are in charity with their neighbor are always pleasing, are always acceptable to God. Just as God always hears the cry of the orphan, the cry of the widow, so should we. Just as God showers unearned gifts of generosity and mercy on us, so should we show generosity and mercy to others. And then in today's gospel, Jesus warns about trusting in our own righteousness while we view others with contempt. And he tells a parable about the importance of what we believe and what we think while we are worshiping God. It is the story of two pious men. Both go to the temple to pray. The first is a Pharisee, and as a religious leader, the Pharisee would be considered an upright, a virtuous member of society. Others likely considered him to be a good person. As teachers of the people, Pharisees sought to instruct the people in how to live faithfully, how they could follow the commands of God. And they wanted the observance of the law to be accessible to all people. In his prayer, the Pharisee reminds God just how righteous he is. He fasts twice a week, which is more than required. He tithes his income, giving away 10% of everything. He thanks God that he's not like those other people, the implication being that he is better than others, better than those near him in the temple praying. He suggests that God really is fortunate to have such a righteous follower as himself. The Pharisee may do everything required in observing the law, but he forgets something. He forgets that there is much more to being righteous. While being impressed himself by his own holy actions, he is looking down on others. He is viewing others with contempt. He believes that he has earned favor with God through what he has done, through his own observance of the law, and that makes him more righteous than other people. The second man could not be more different. He is a tax collector. He's part of a group that's despised by the people in Jesus' day. They were considered unscrupulous and dishonest. They collected taxes for the occupying Romans and were viewed as collaborators with the oppressor. They were not given a salary by the Romans, and so their income came from fees they added on top of the taxes they collected. And this practice especially hurt the poor. Tax collectors were seen as making themselves rich by exploiting the economically vulnerable. When he prays in the temple, the tax collector can't even look to heaven. He stands away from others. He beats his breast in contrition. And the prayer he utters is simply, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This man knows that he sins. And in honesty, he comes before God and he confesses his sin. And he understands mercy and compassion are a gift of God, and humbly asks God to show him, a sinner, mercy. Jesus concludes this parable by saying, I tell you this, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The tax collector did not exalt himself like the Pharisee, that one who is so sure of his own righteousness. Instead, he humbled himself. He came before God honestly. He acknowledged that he sinned, and he asked for God's mercy in response to his sin. The prayer of the tax collector reminds us that we are made righteous only through God's loving initiative. We neither deserve nor can we earn God's love or favor or mercy. But the good news is we don't have to. Through the merits and mediation of Jesus, we are made worthy to stand before God. By God's generous gift, we are incorporated into the body of Christ through the restoring waters of baptism. Not through our own efforts, but through Jesus, are we made righteous and restored to holiness. Like the tax collector, we are called to humbly confess our sins, to repent of them, make restitution for them, and to accept God's loving forgiveness. And we do this not so we can feel bad about ourselves, beat ourselves up, experience self-loathing, but rather we do it to be honest, to acknowledge that though we are all beloved children of God, we also all sin, and we need honestly to confess our sin to God, trusting that God always stands ready to forgive us as many times as we sin. And each time we repent and return to God, believing that there is great rejoicing in heaven. Our lessons today make clear that everything that we have has been given us as a gift of God. God gives us life itself. God gives us the fruits of creation, that bounty of creation, providing food for all. God gives us the material resources that we have. And God gives us love. God loves us and shows us compassion and mercy and forgiveness. God desires for us to be in relationship, in deep union with God, and God adopts us as God's beloved children through the offering of Jesus on the cross. But this day, Jesus also cautions us about what we think and what we believe in our hearts. Like the Pharisee, there might be times that we might believe we are righteous in God's eye because of the good we do. After all, we can say that we come to church, we pray, we give money for the care of those in need, we volunteer. And while these are all good things, they do not make us holy. They do not make us worthy. They do not make us better than others in God's eyes. And so Jesus reminds us that we must resist thinking of ourselves as more holy than others. For the reality is that God alone is holy, and that God loves all the just and the unjust, simply because God is love. Love is not just an attribute of God, it's God's very nature and identity. And so this day we are invited to renew our commitment to God by being generous, in response to God's great generosity to us. And we're called to respond to God's great love for us by loving others. Just as God shows concern and care for the vulnerable, so we are to do as well. And these are all a pleasing and worthy thank offering to God. They are, in fact, the visible and tangible manifestations of our very love of God and our very worship of God. Amen.